Welcome to another episode of First Up. I'm your host, Brian White, and today it is just me. In today's episode, I am joined by Jesus Molina, Communications Specialist from the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. And we are going to have a conversation about the work that Jesus does with veterans, as well as the supports available for them. Welcome to First Up. I'm joined by Jesus Molina. Jesus, do you mind introducing yourself?
No, like you said, my name is Jesus Molina. I am a first-gen college student, and I currently work for the Department of Veterans Affairs, specifically at Edward Hines Jr. VA Hospital as a communication specialist, but primarily I do more outreach work and work with a lot of community organizations and partners to assist veterans in getting healthcare.
I know that you said that you're a first-generation student. What was your decision like for you coming out of high school and choosing the armed forces? Or did you go directly into the armed forces?
I did. So right after high school, actually even before then, I had my mom sign a waiver because I was still 17 when I made the decision to enlist. So she had to sign off on me actually enlisting. And so as soon as I graduated high school, waited a few months and went right into military service, into the Marine Corps.
And what kind of shaped your decision, or what helped you make your decision about that?
I think there were a few factors. One, at that time, both my sisters were going to college. One was going to Loyola. Another was going to ISU. And they were working two jobs, you know, taking out loans. And I didn't really want to do that as far as taking out loans and stuff like that. So the military was able to provide that opportunity to do something of service, but also have a way to pay for school after I was done.
And it was just you trying to do something different and not wanting to take out the loans. How did you choose which armed forces you were interested in?
I think it was a toss-up between, you know, the Marines, the Army, and the Navy. I was born in the 80s, so still remember watching like the old Rambo movies with Stallone, you know, Chuck Norris, you know, all those military movies. And so I knew in the back of my mind, I kind of wanted to do something similar. But I think ultimately the Marines kind of posted the biggest challenge. No one in my family had ever served in the military. Like I mentioned, I'm a first generation student, so I'm also a first generation veteran. My stepfather, he was in the Army, so I kind of wanted to do something different.
And I know you mentioned your mom. She was there when you were signing the papers. How did she feel about you choosing that path?
I think she was definitely a little hesitant at first. This was in 98, so there was really nothing going on. But she's always been super supportive. So she was like, this is your decision. So if you want to do it, you know, I'm behind you 100%. So looking back, she probably would not have signed it, knowing what would happen. But at that time, she was super supportive.
Yeah. And you're the youngest sibling, is that correct?
I'm the third oldest.
Third oldest.
So okay. Three or four.
Gotcha. I know I'm the youngest of four, so my mom would have been like, no, absolutely not. Staying right there, what about your friends? Did you have any friends that were also choosing that same path?
No, because I went to high school at Glenbard West High School in Glen Ellyn, and there were probably maybe one or two that were going to do military service, but my group, I was the only one.
So when you eventually decide to go to college, what motivated you to go back to school after?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, we have education benefits that we receive. And so I just wanted to make sure I utilized those before they expired. At that time, once you got out, you had 10 years to utilize those federal GI Bill benefits.
Gotcha.
Now they've made several changes through legislation and advocacy where now there's no expiration date of your education benefits on the federal level. And that's specifically for the post 9/11. There's other education benefits for different groups, but specifically for the forever post 9/11 GI Bill, there's no more expiration date.
Yeah. And I'm interested too, just out of curiosity, could you like walk me through how that transition was and how that path was? So I know from high school, going to the Marines, and then just, I guess you were trying to figure out what you were doing there, and mm-hmm. then going from there to college. How was that entire transition?
I mean, the transition was a little different because, you know, even before you go in, your recruiter always tells you, you can do your 4 years, get out, you know, everybody will hire you, whatever. So that was kind of my expectation when I got out. But right before I left service, Operation Iraqi Freedom happened. So I was part of the first wave to go into Kuwait and Iraq. And then I came back to California in the, I would say June, July of 2003. And then I got out in August of 2003. So I had a very short turnaround to kind of figure out what I wanted to do next. I ended up staying in California for personal reasons, but there was really no one hiring. I think at that time, the country was still not really ready to support service members that were coming back and then transitioning out and getting out. So I was applying to several different companies, even just as a security guard, and I wouldn't be getting any callbacks to the point where I even thought about going back in and doing that all over again, even if it was the reserve side or going back into active duty. But ended up going back home because that's where my support system was. Only had a few relatives in California, so packed everything into my little Mitsubishi Eclipse and drove from California back home and was able to get a job at a nursing home that my aunt worked at. And then from there, started kind of seeing the need to get an education. I was talking with like the caseworkers, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, and they were like, oh, you should go to school, you know, become a caseworker, social worker, or become a psychiatrist. And so I was like, okay, let me at least start. And so knowing that I had the benefits for education, I utilized my Montgomery GI Bill as well as my Illinois Veterans Grant to go to College of DuPage. And that's where I started.
Gotcha. And those things that they were throwing out at you, were those things that you were interested in? Or was it just something that they were saying, hey, you can easily get into these?
I think it was something that was interesting in. Like, I really liked the aspect of helping people. And that was really kind of like the motivating factor of either being like in the human services field or psychology field and just really being there as a service, as a person to help other people.
Yeah. And I can imagine just you being a veteran and when you first came back to California and seeing that there was no support, that pushed you to want to give that support as well. But when you were just coming out of college, or actually let's stay on college a little bit because that was a new thing for you at that mm-hmm. time, right? How was getting through that? Because as you mentioned, you were a first generation college student, but I know you had older siblings that went through college. Did they help you through that process?
Yes and no. They were more so like there was an encouragement, but I think as far as like having that social capital or even having that talk about like, hey, do you need any help with school? Do you need any assistance? I think there's a big myth surrounding service members where they're like, oh, they served their country. They got education benefits. I'm sure they got assistance for when they got out. So we're not going to really ask anything. So I think not only just like with my family, but like other places too, I was kind of just navigating that process on my own. Just trying to remember what they told us in our transition class back in California, you know, knowing where to apply for your GI Bill, going to the financial aid office and just being like, hey, I'm a veteran. I got this letter in the mail says I need to submit it to your office, and then connecting with like an academic advisor who kind of just saw me for like 5 minutes, asked me a few questions, and then gave me a sheet of paper and like, all right, here are the classes that you should take.
So would you say that the most difficult part of that process was not having the support in place, or was it something else that you were kind of thinking about?
I don't know if it was the support, but more so kind of like the advising or mentorship aspect, because there was really no one there to like walk you through the process of like, all right, what major should you take? You know, because they see you as an older student. Right. So it's been 4 or 5 years since you saw your high school counselor about what you wanted to do. And there's no other support afterwards, or at least when I was there, there was no other additional support to ask you, like, all right, you know, let's figure out what you want to do, why you want to be in this major degree field. It wasn't until like later on in my academic career where they were like, oh, let's figure out where you want to go. But I think just that one-on-one kind of counseling was definitely lacking when I was going through that.
And that's interesting, because that's kind of what we do now for high school students, is that peer mentorship from my ISAC core positions. And I think that that's important work to do. And we like to treat each student as an individual. So even you, if you were back then, I feel like ISAC core would have helped a lot.
Yeah, because even like being in my role later on as a veterans coordinator at Harper College and even at UIC, we always saw veterans change their majors 2 or 3 times. And I think that's very similar to like first generation students. And it's even harder for veterans when they have a fixed amount of benefits. And if they're changing their majors 2 or 3 times, then they're really, I wouldn't say wasting their benefits, but they could have used it, you know, to complete the major that they wanted to do.
Yeah. Just speaking on first generations, I know that you are one, but when did you first learn that you were a first generation student?
I think I might have been in like my master's work, or even maybe later on towards my end of my bachelor's degree, taking some cultural classes or Latin American history classes, and they're talking about first generation students. Because I don't think, or at least not that I remember, there wasn't really a lot of conversation of that, or even, you know, Hispanic serving institutions and what that means. It was just, you know, we're going to school.
We had a couple episodes where it was mentioned that then it wasn't as talked about as it is now, and it's more talked about, it's more appreciated, and now because it's more known, we can find those supports for those students and we can help those students out. So I think it's important to always keep talking about it. And just since we moved through college and now you're in your new position that you are now currently, how has that been for you? And could you just describe a little bit more about what you do?
So it took me a while to get into this position. Just getting into any federal position can be long to finally get in, just because their hiring process is very different. Even just their resume construction is different. So it did take me a while to get there, but definitely leveraged my experience that I gained at UIC and at Harper College to be at my current role, where I collaborate and build relationships with community organizations, local and state offices, or elected officials to really get the message out of having veterans enrolled in healthcare. Again, like I think there's a myth that every veteran, as soon as they get out, are automatically awarded all these benefits. Even with your education benefits, you still have to apply for those. You can't just go to a school and be like, hey, I'm a veteran, give me my benefits. They have to go through the process of applying for them. The VA has to verify that they were eligible, and then you go back to the school and utilize them. Same thing with healthcare. The veteran has to go and apply for healthcare. The VA has to determine if they're eligible or not. And there's a lot of different eligibility criteria for VA healthcare, but there's still a lot of veterans out there that are not enrolled. And so our job, in my role, is to go out into the community and talk to veterans, talk to families of veterans, because sometimes family members are the ones that push the veteran to get into the VA healthcare system. Because whether you're a newly separated service member getting a job, you know, they'll utilize their private insurance, or they have a pension and they retired from another organization or company and have insurance through that. But then I think one thing that we learned from the pandemic and COVID is that anyone can lose their job from one night to the next. And with that goes your healthcare, goes out, you know, any other benefits that you're getting from your employer. But with VA healthcare, once they're enrolled, that's never going to go away. And so even with VA healthcare, there's a lot of different programs within that. It's not just, you know, going to the doctor. We have homeless programs to help veterans who are at risk of homelessness. We have our geriatric program. We have a blind center. And then now we've always had mental health and mental health support, but the VA now is really making an effort and a strong effort to talk about mental health and suicide. And so a lot of our caseworkers are out there as well to get the word out about, you know, getting help, getting assistance. Even the crisis number has changed from like that 1-800 number to now it's just 988. And with that crisis number, anyone can utilize that number if you're a non-veteran or a veteran. If you're a veteran, you just dial 988 and press 1 and it will take you to the veteran crisis line where you could get assistance. But family members could also utilize that for veterans. And the crisis line is not just for, you know, a mental health crisis. Any kind of crisis, they'll be able to assist and help. So if you're going through a financial crisis, homelessness, you need help paying the bills, they'll help you connect with other resources that can kind of help you with whatever issue that you're having.
I know a lot of students want to go into the armed forces. In terms of advice or in terms of this is something I wish I would have known before I did this, what would you give to those students or tell those students?
I think definitely do your homework on the specific job specialty that you'll be doing and think really long term and see how your experience in the military can translate into a career afterwards. If you just want to go in and do your time, great. You know, utilize the benefits afterwards. But if you really want to get a step above everyone else, try to look and see what they have available for you. And if they don't have something, you could always say no. Right now, I think all the armed services, except the Marines, are having a hard time recruiting folks. So they're giving out signing bonuses, you know, trying to get people in. But if you really want to do something, then just hold off until you get that position that you want. And then the other thing is just always try to annotate and talk to the medical folks while you're in. Document every injury that you have, because once you get out, that's going to help you when you try to get additional benefits once you're out. So document everything. Don't try to be the tough person and not go to sick call and not get anything documented. So definitely, if you're hurt, go to sick call.
And then just recapping your journey, your professional to education and then back to professional. What was graduating college like for you, either undergrad or graduate?
With undergrad, I think it was a little bit more rewarding because I was able to graduate with some folks that I really grew close with at school. But also, it was kind of like a little gift for my mom, too, because she was always a big supporter of going to school, getting your education, doing all that. So it was able to kind of do that and go through the whole ceremony just for her. Otherwise, I probably would have not walked, you know.
Didn't really care for it too much. Yeah. And then what about graduate school? Was that more rewarding for yourself? Did you feel like this is more so for me now?
Yeah, that was definitely a lot more for me because I knew I would be able to use that to advance in my career field, not only within higher education, but now even at the federal level where you can apply for different positions just based off having a master's degree or even an advanced degree.
Yeah, and I know you work with a lot of veterans and you see a lot of veterans. How do you tell your story and give your experience and the work that you do?
Yeah, I think I just try to connect with them and let them know that, you know, whatever they're going through right now is the same thing that I went through in one way or another back in 2003. So I try to let them know that I've been in their shoes. I've walked where they're starting to walk and let them know like, hey, I'm a resource. Don't try to do this alone. There are several different organizations and agencies that can help you with whatever issue you're having, whether it's going to you guys for, you know, college access and college support or going to us for veteran assistance, veteran care. And we're able to kind of connect those dots that they're missing.
Yeah, and I feel like resources are important in itself, but it's also important for people to link those resources to the people that need it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the thing that I'm hearing from you and that speaks a lot to me. But yeah, I just appreciate what you're doing for veterans. And I thank you for your service as well. And then, Jesus, just before we go, is there a way that people can reach you, or is there any supports out there that you want people to know about?
So veterans and even families of veterans can reach me at my cell phone, 708-901-4588, or send me an email at jesus.molina@va.gov. And then one other thing that the VA provides, as I mentioned earlier, they do a lot of work, not just healthcare. The VA has a program called VITAL, Veterans Integration to Academic Leadership. And so in partnership with the community college or university, the VA will provide a caseworker at that campus or school, and they will be able to assist those student veterans or military connected students with any resources and assistance with VA or even on the college campus.
Thanks again, Jesus, for sharing, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Jesus Molina for joining us today. We would like to thank ISAC for supporting us, the First Generation Scholars Network for encouraging us to put this podcast together. Thanks to our producers, Joey Lieberman and Matt Montez. Last but not least, we would like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. We hope you'll join us on our next episode. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not directly reflect the opinions of ISAC. We hope you enjoyed this episode and have a good day, everyone.